Welcome one, welcome all to the first of what I hope is many episodes of Between the Trenches. My name is Dwayne Turner and I'm joined by my friend Mitch Sanderson and co-host Mitch Sanderson. Mitch, how excited are you to be talking some football?
Oh man, I'm excited. I've been waiting for this for a long time. This has been a big big goal. Lots to talk about, lots to say, big season coming up. We just left a huge season in the NFL, one of the biggest stories, I think biggest in terms of storylines, one of the biggest seasons in NFL history, so I'm excited to get into this season.
So before we get into it, I just wanted to ask Mitch, what team did you grow up cheering for?
That's a good question. I guess I grew up cheering for the Saints, big Drew Brees guy, not as much anymore.
I don't know.
Not a big fan of all the moves. I like the Jimmy Graham move in the off season, but I'm trying to keep it a little less a little unbiased. How about you, man?
It's going to be a bit more difficult for me. I'm a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. People have seen me in my jerseys, my hoodies, and everything. And I mean, they know I'm not a huge fan of some of the signings and trades and things that have been going on this off season. But I live and die by that team, so.
All right, man. So want to get into it?
Sure, let's go.
All right, so a little bit of current news off the top. Cam Newton signed 5-year, $103.8 million extension to his contract. He's now going to be next year the third highest paid player in the league. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, man. I didn't think this was. I was a little surprised at this. I know this is the way of the quarterback. Those contracts are just getting bigger and bigger. But for a guy like Cam Newton, whose biggest knock on him coming into the league is that he takes too many hits. He's came off a year where his O-line was crap, and he took a lot of hits. He looked slow. I'm worried about him going forward. I think he's gonna have to change his style of play up because he can't take the hits he's been taking in the first 3 or 4 years of his career. He admitted last year he's not Superman. He thought his rookie season he thought he was invincible. Like that's a mentality that has to go if he's gonna have a long career in the NFL.
So this is where I think you and I disagree, because I think that if you know you have a franchise quarterback, you have to pay him. And right now the going rate is anywhere north of $100 million right now. I mean, we've seen Andy Dalton. We've seen Ryan Tannehill lately signed big deals like that.
Roethlisberger.
Exactly. So, and obviously the Joe Flacco deal not too long ago after he won the Super Bowl. So I think that Cam Newton is a franchise quarterback. I agree with you. I think he takes a lot of hits, but I think a lot of it isn't his fault. They need to structure. Now that they've signed him, they have to work towards building the team around him and giving him something to work with.
Yeah, I think that's what they'll do.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. I mean, the offensive line is not good, and I think we were talking off air. It hasn't really gotten any better.
No.
His skill position players, he lost a lot of wide receivers about 2 years ago, and they're trying to rebuild that position group now.
It's getting better. Kelvin Benjamin.
Yep. And they drafted Funchess.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's talent there. At the running back position, hopefully Jonathan Stewart can stay healthy for a full year, but, you know, that's been kind of unlikely recently. So, yeah, I kind of disagree. I think that it's a deal that they had to make because, if you know you have a franchise quarterback, you have to make sure you pay him and you can't let him go out the door.
Yeah, that's fair. It's too I get it. It's too hard to find these guys.
Right.
I guess this was the move for the Panthers that they needed to make. I just think that in the long run, this is going to come back and bite them. But I don't think they had another choice. They couldn't let him go.
Right.
So this was the money they needed to pay him. And I think next year or sometime this year when we see what money Russell Wilson makes, this is going to look like chump change.
And Andrew Luck.
That's a good point.
I mean, there are rumors that those deals could be fully guaranteed. Could you imagine?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think the NFL is a little ways away from fully guaranteed contract.
Right.
But why don't we get into what we're going to talk about today?
Sure. What are we talking about, Mitch?
We're going to preview the AFC North. Hopefully by the beginning of the preseason, definitely by the start of the season, we'll have previewed all 8 NFL divisions.
Okay.
So today we're gonna start off NFC or AFC North.
Okay.
And let's get it started with somebody who's been in the news a little bit recently. one of the most exciting players in the NFL, Johnny Football. Johnny Football, if you haven't heard, he had a couple altercations with fans recently, throwing water bottles, getting in shouting matches. He went to rehab earlier this offseason. He had just a terrible display in his rookie season. I think he looks like a guy that never should have been drafted. And I don't know this – obviously this offense – I don't think he's going to be a part of this offense this year. I don't know if he's ever going to be a part of this offense. Josh McCown, they signed by the Browns this offseason, going to be scheduled as a starting quarterback. I'm not sure if Manziel knocks off a guy like that. Even though McCown's not a tremendously skilled guy, I didn't see the – didn't obviously last year what we saw from Manziel was not enough to be in the NFL. And I don't think he had the offseason that he's going to make those big steps. There were some – thoughts early on that he might. I think that's crap. The Browns look like the good old Browns again. Signed Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline. So still don't have – so Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West and the running back. still no skill position players, basically. Offensive line's pretty solid. I think one of the better offensive lines in the league.
Right.
They're going to not have Josh Gordon again from suspension this year. Jordan Cameron signed with Miami. Brian Hoyer gone to Houston. Those were kind of the guys a few years ago when this offense looked like it might be something. Those were the guys, and they're all not on the team anymore. But what do you think defensively? They're not bad defensively, eh?
Well, before we move on to the defense, I just wanted to throw something out there for the offense. I mean, I think that you mentioned the offensive line, which is probably their best position group, and I think that earlier on in the year, when Brian Hoyer was the starter in 2014, the running game was the focal point of the offense, and that would set up Brian Hoyer for a lot of those play-action passes that he would take advantage of, and that's when he was playing his best football before, you know, things went downhill. I think if they can get back to that, focus on that, because I actually think that Crowell is actually a very talented running back, and then to have, you know, Wes come out and relieve him every once in a while. The receiving core isn't great. You know, you mentioned the names, but I mean, if they can keep it simple, I mean, I think the biggest thing is getting Mac back. Because, I mean, he as the center position, I mean, when he left, they had to switch around so many different positions just to accommodate his injury.
And I think they drafted Cameron Irving in the first round this year.
Right,
and there's
right.
rumors that Mac may leave his contract up after this year, that he may leave. I think that was a smart decision in the first round, taking Irving. The Hoyer, too, I think that was, you know, that's a big loss. They're going to need to just simplify. They need to make their offensive line the strength of their offense, because they really don't have playmakers anywheres. You can say Crowell, I think he's a good back, too, but he was a late-round pick last year, just his second year in the league.
Right.
He hits the holes fine, but I'm not haven't seen enough out of him to know that he's the kind of playmaker that they can lean on in the offense.
Okay, well, like you mentioned earlier, we'll move on to the defensive side of the ball, which I think could be very, very talented. They drafted guys like Shelton. You know, you're getting returning guys like, you know, Barcavius Mingo, who I think, you know, he's due to break out eventually.
Yeah, first round pick a couple years ago has taken a bit of time.
Exactly. But I think that, you know, it's only a matter of time before he starts to break out. I think he's a great outside linebacker who can definitely be effective for them. Carlos Dansby. You know, at the linebacker position. Yeah, exactly. Joe Hayden has always been in the conversation for one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Yeah, deservingly so.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they've only added – they get Tashawn Gibson back too, right? Because I believe he was injured last season.
Yeah, he had a great – I think he started off the year playing real well, and then he injured later in the year.
Yeah, so I'm impressed right now with their defensive – like their secondary – All phases of the defense, like their secondary, the linebacker group, and then the that line. I think bringing in Shelton is a huge pickup. I mean, a lot of people in the draft had them going after maybe a wide receiver or even, you know, again, going after a quarterback. But shoring up that defense, I think, was huge for them.
Yeah, the thing with the Browns, I think they've always jumped at that idea to take a quarterback, whether it was, Brandon Whedon or Colt McCoy, Johnny Manziel. That's always been their weakness. They've never had a quarterback since, Bernie Kosar, I guess, was the last quarterback. They also added Tremont Williams, a corner, and that'll – and they drafted Justin Gilbert last year. Didn't really pan out, but he's had – I guess he's had a good offseason, and I think that gives him, you know, the flexibility not have to start right away.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree. I think their defense is going to be good. I'm still not sold. They're still the Cleveland Browns to me, so not really sure what if they'll actually – get her done. I don't have a lot of confidence there.
All right, well, let's move on to the predictions then. Where do you find the Cleveland Browns finishing in 2015?
I have them finishing bottom of the division.
Yep.
I think that's pretty fair. Four or five wins for them.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough division at the top. I think they're in a really tough division with the Bengals and the Steelers, the Ravens every year. That's what I think makes it even more difficult for them to rise up and get past the identity of being the quarterbackless Browns. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say 5-11.
Okay, so in 2014 they finished 7-9. Again, I mentioned it earlier. They actually started off the year quite well. I believe it was 6-3. They were leading the division.
Through 10 weeks, they were I think 7-3. They were in a play. Even when Brian Hoyer got benched last year, this is something that a lot of people don't remember. They were still in contention for a playoff spot.
Right.
That was what drove me nuts. I don't know why they benched Hoyer. I don't think anybody had Manziel as being better than Hoyer, or having given them a guy his first first start in the NFL, hoping that he'll win three games in a row and get you to the playoffs.
Right.
That was I think a mistake. And once he played that first game, you could tell it was too late.
Yeah.
What about you? Where do you have them in this year?
Well, okay. So I mentioned 7-9 was their finish last year. You know what? I'd say 6-10. I agree with you. I think the problem is that the division does get harder for them. They certainly won't get the sort of production they got early on last season to be able to sustain over the course of a season. So I'd say 6-10. I mean, at the best. I mean, the defense, I think, will be so much better that can provide some.
Yeah, I think they'll be in closer games, but I just don't know where the points are going to come from,
exactly.
Especially in this division.
Right.
So moving on to the other team in Ohio, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
Cincinnati Bengals didn't make many moves in the offseason.
They usually don't.
No, but they've – but even less, I found, this year. They signed A.J. Hawk and Terrell Pryor. Drafted Cedric Abui and Jake Fisher in the first two rounds, both offensive linemen. Those were the four, I think, biggest pieces really added. Jermaine Gresham is no longer on the team, but they, of course, have Tyler Eifert
coming back from injury.
Coming back from injury last year. So I think they're, if you look at their team, they had a bit of injuries last year. AJ Green kind of in and out last. And I don't know if they didn't really make any changes. I still think they're the same guys, and they still have Andy Dalton, and that's their biggest problem. Chris Wessling of NFL.com has a theory called the Andy Dalton scale, where that states that if your quarterback is better than Andy Dalton, then you're safe. You have a long-term option at quarterback. Okay. If he's worse, then you need to replace your quarterback. And if he's the same, then you're good enough to get in the playoffs, and that's it. I think that's kind of the model, and I think that's a fair model. If you look at most of the teams in the NFL, if you rate their quarterback against Andy Dalton, that's a fair assessment of whether or not they need that organization needs a new team or needs a new quarterback.
So before you move on to some more of the offensive positions, what do you think happened? Do you think that there's a possibility that we could maybe see even an A.J. McCarron come into the fold and maybe challenge him for the spot?
I think Pryor is more likely just because he's a different guy.
Okay.
I don't think, because I think A.J. McCarron is more or less a poor man's Andy Dalton. We haven't seen a lot of him, but from what I saw from college, in terms of his, he makes the plays that are there. He doesn't really make any plays that other guys won't. He'll throw to the open guy, he'll read the play, but you don't see the plays made. I guess McCarron made some plays at Alabama. But I don't know. He hasn't really seemed to push Dalton. And, of course, Marvin Lewis signed a one-year extension. I think Dalton's going to be his guy. He's been his guy the last few years. He likes him. For whatever reason, Marvin Lewis believes in Andy Dalton. I don't think that he's going to give up on him now. maybe Pryor, just because Pryor is that brings that athletic ability. He's a good runner. He's got a good arm. He can add a different dimension to the offense if they chose to go in a different direction. But I pretty much seen them going to having a pretty much same season, probably 10 wins, maybe getting a wild card spot, won't win a playoff game.
Okay, well, moving on to the defensive side of the ball, one of the positions that I always found was strong for the Cincinnati Bengals was the linebacker position. And I think one of the biggest questions is Vontaze Burfict's health. I mean, he pretty much missed all of last season. I believe it was concussions or, like, they never was able to...
It was concussions, yeah. That was pretty much... Yeah. Concussion. He came back a few times, but I think he must have been coming back early because he was... I don't know if he came back for more than a full game.
Yeah, I mean, to have to rely on Ray Maluga, you know...
They had Emmanuel Lemur come in last year and get a bunch of tackles. I don't know if he didn't necessarily make a lot of plays.
Right.
But he filled in those tackle spots. And, of course, they signed A.J. Hawk. I don't think he'll start the season as a starter.
No, I mean, at that position, like at the middle linebacker position, I'm sure they'll probably start Maluga. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of – yeah, because A.J. Hawk is a veteran coming from Green Bay.
He's one of those other guys. He's not a playmaker.
Yeah.
He'll kind of stand there and he'll clean up what the defensive line might miss.
Yeah. So I think actually because of that injury, I think that linebacker position is a bit weak for them. The defensive line, what do you think? Because, I mean
– they got Michael Johnson back. He didn't have a good year last year in Tampa, but I think he'll
– No.
He'll have a good year. He didn't deal with the heat very well from what I heard.
That's not an excuse.
But no, that's the thing. It's not a good excuse, but if you grow up in the North and you always play and then you got to deal with the Florida heat every day, that takes its toll. I think that, but you've got to keep put that. That's got to be a factor before you decide to go.
I was just gonna say. I mean, so, before you sign that contract, you got to know. What
yeah,
you're
he was
into.
Think he's trying to live the dream there, but he's back along with Dunlap and Pico. Geno Atkins, one of the best.
You know what, Geno Atkins? I mean, he didn't have one of his best seasons last year, but it was him coming off of, I believe, torn ACL the season before. So, I look to expect to see him get back to form this upcoming season. At the cornerback position, a bit interesting as well. Drake Kirkpatrick right now is slated to start alongside Leon
Newman
Hall.
Out the door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, they got Nelson and Ioka playing the safety position. So, they always get great. They always get great production. I noticed from the cornerback position, no matter who's there. Because I mean, you look at somebody. You look at you just mentioned him. He was a guy who was kind of thrown out the door, and then he played pretty well with Cincinnati. I don't know if it's just a system thing there or Mike Zimmer coached him up before, obviously, he ended up leaving for Minnesota. But I'm always impressed with their cornerback play, regardless of the player.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with their D-line, too. Their D-line gets good pressure. That makes things easier on the on the corners. I think the classic example of that was the 2007 New York Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And their D-line was fantastic. The rest of their defense was okay, but they made them look great because of the great pass rush they got.
Right.
That's a model that's been used a few times since then, especially for 4-3 teams.
Right.
Get a good rush with four guys and let your corners play corner and make plays. I'm kind of interested, we skipped over a little bit on the offensive side of the ball, the battle at the running back between Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard.
Okay.
Bernard, I thought going into last year, was one of the better backs in the league, and Hill came in and was even better.
Yeah.
Especially when Bernard got hurt, and that'll be a good combination there. I think that's going to be that might be the one thing that makes their offense a little more dangerous than it has been in the past. Andy Dalton, I think, is the problem there. I've looked at this team year to year. This team, take away quarterbacks from all the teams and look at the rosters, this team is always one of the best.
Oh, no question.
And I think there's no difference this year.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question. I mean, I'm glad you bring up the running back position because you're right. That 1-2 punch, it should be incredible. Their offensive line, they drafted for depth, I believe, and then so the offensive line will be good to go.
Yeah,
for
neither one of the neither Bowie or Fisher are slated to start as of right now, but I assume they will by the end of the year.
Right.
Especially with Andrew Whitworth, both those guys play tackle, are slated to play tackle, and Andrew Whitworth being an aging guy, I think he won't finish the year at starter. What do you think? I said it earlier, 10-6.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll compete for a wild card spot with 10-6, but they won't make it past the wild card round.
I'm going to say 9-7. I think they miss out on the playoffs this year because I think, look, you do the same thing for so long, things don't change, then something has to be done. And I think they've gone into the playoffs now 3 straight years pretty much with the same game plan, and Andy Dalton and the rest of the team just hasn't delivered. Marvin Lewis included. I'm glad you brought up the contract situation with him.
I think next year we could see a big change in Cincinnati Bengals
organization. I agree. And maybe we'll bring it up some other time, but I believe that Andy Dalton, the big contract he signed, now allows, I think after this season,
I think his guaranteed money must be up soon.
Okay.
So they'll have an out in that contract.
They'll play effect soon. So I actually have them finishing 9-7 and missing out on the playoffs because I believe that the AFC will be a bit stronger where 9-7 won't be enough to get in.
All right. Well, I agree. I think it's going to be might take more than 10 wins to get in the playoffs this year. But let's move on to one of those teams that may compete for a playoff spot, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right.
Pittsburgh Steelers, you want to start it off?
Sure. Okay, well, I mean, I'll take the offensive side of the ball this time. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers and, when we get to them, the Baltimore Ravens, they're a lot better, at least at the quarterback position, they're a lot more set than those other teams, you know? And obviously they have the Pittsburgh Steelers have Ben Roethlisberger, who's coming off one of the best, if not the best, season of his career. He threw for over 4,900 yards. I'm sure you remember those two games where he had a two-game span where he had 12 touchdowns and no interceptions.
And, like, almost 1,200 yards. I think he threw for, like, 1,000 yards.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was incredible. So, you know, obviously he's going to be coming back to Todd Haley's offense, which, you know, at first people were lambasting it, but it's only gotten better as the years go on. And he's getting back all pretty much everybody from the offensive side of the ball. Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton.
Martavius Bryant,
who came in midseason and was, people were wondering where they were hiding him.
I didn't even remember him playing in college.
And not to mention they drafted Sammy Coates from Auburn.
I
mean, just another weapon for him to throw to. The only issue is that he does lose Le'Veon Bell for 3 games. He was suspended by the NFL. And he was one of the best backs in the league last year.
If not the best. I think,
balance-wise,
in terms of what he can do in the run game, in the pass game, blocking, change of direction.
Right.
He's got – I've never seen anybody who's got so much patience running the ball.
I know, yeah. It was – because, I mean, Pittsburgh – lately, their offensive line hasn't been great, but it has been getting better, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, the way he was for a second year back to be able to be patient enough to be able to find those holes and then attack it like he did, it was great to watch. And
with Danian Tomlinson-esque.
Yes, I agree. And like you said, the way he played, I mean, he would be split out wide playing wide receiver at times, and you couldn't tell the difference between him and some of the other guys out there. So, yeah, they'll be missing him for the first 3 games, but what do you think? Do you think that D'Angelo Williams can fill in?
I think you know it won't be the same offense, obviously, but they'll lean a little more on the pass game. I don't think they're going to have issues so much. I don't think they're going to have issues because they started. If you remember, Le'Veon Bell started his rookie season injured,
yes,
and came in and played great. I think it'll be a similar situation to that. Well, they'll get him a few games in and it'll be like a boost.
Right.
The one thing with the Steelers this year is that they're basically, I think this has been the year of the change of identity.
Okay.
Dick LeBeau, longtime defensive coordinator, has gone to Tennessee.
Glad to bring that up.
Brett Kiesel was let go. Troy Polamalu retired.
Mm-hmm.
Those were 3 guys that were – James Harrison is still basically the one guy left from that –
but even he was temporarily gone.
Yeah, exactly.
He came back.
He went to the Bengals for a year.
That's right.
Retired. Got a call last year to come back.
That's right.
They also had Jason Worlds retire unexpectedly.
Right.
For personal reasons. But I think they're if you look at their defense, it's a lot younger. They're going to start a lot of players that they've drafted in the last 3 or 4 years. Jarvis Jones, Cameron Hayward, Stephen Tuitt, Ryan Shazier, this year's pick Bud Dupree, one of the best names in the draft. Shamarco Thomas, Cinquez Golson, they drafted this year, probably going to be their nickelback. That's a lot of young names. It's not going to be the same defense it was before.
No.
But I think that's okay. It's going to be okay for the Steelers because their offense is so good. That's just kind of their new identity. And they've always been historically the Steelers, a defensive first, run the ball kind of team. This is going to be a new chapter for the Steelers. I think they're going to do well with it too. I have them winning the division. Yeah. 11, I think it's going to be 11 or 12 games.
Okay.
They're going to be tough to beat, and it'll be the offense power. It'll be an offense powered team, but that defense, while it's young, it has a lot of talent.
Okay.
That just needs to blossom, I think. And a guy like Mike Mitchell on the back end is going to be one of the leaders. Lawrence Timmons,
right.
And like we mentioned, James Harrison still there. I think this has got to be James Harrison's last year. I was surprised that he was back this year.
He was effective though at times last season.
Oh, he was, but so. Just the way he last year saying that he was in the most pain he's ever been in his life, and how he started to hate workouts. That to me sounds like a guy who's ready to hang him up, but.
I think that's just him coming off of retirement and realizing.
Yeah,
all the
missed
work
it. He probably missed it.
Yeah,
What do you think? Where do they finish?
Yeah,
this year?
I agree. I think, I think that they can finish with anywhere from like 10 to 11 wins. I think the defense, especially their cornerback position, I don't think they addressed it. So I think that's going to be a bit of a problem for them. I do love their young linebackers. You mentioned Bud Dupree. And Shazier, like I love that combination that they have going
Shazier
on.
Also had a pretty good year last year, and had an interview recently where he said that he didn't have a good year. So that's the kind of guy that he is. He wants to be. He, you know, for a rookie, was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be even better. So those are the kind of guys that the Steelers are looking for.
Right. So yeah, I have them finishing with either. I'll say 10-6. I think 10-6 is where they finish, and second in the division for me.
Second in the division. All right, so let's move on to your first place team then by process of elimination.
Right.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Right. And I mentioned it earlier, Joe Flacco, polarizing figure, especially after he got that huge contract. But, I mean, we've seen his production, what he does in the playoffs. I mean, that's essentially where you get judged now. So I think that, you know, the deal doesn't look as bad now, especially with all these $100 million contracts that are coming out. And, you know, I just think that him, along with the rest of the offense that they bring back, obviously they do lose Torrey Smith, but they drafted
Rashad Perriman. Yeah.
Rashad Perriman. And then you have Steve Smith coming back.
Marlon Brown.
There you go. Yeah. So some of these young receivers that they've been kind of developing all along.
Also, I think Max Williams, their rookie tight end, will probably take
That's
over
huge, yeah, because, yeah, the Baltimore offense has a tendency to kind of revolve around those tight ends,
yeah.
You know, and Dennis Pitta, who may not play again.
Yeah, Pitta's had two major hip injuries the last two seasons.
Yeah.
He's with the team right now in OTAs, but I think hopes are kind of limited that he'll actually play this year.
I'm hearing rumors that he might never play again. I think that the offensive line is incredible. You know, between Monroe, Kelechi Osemele, Zuta, Yanda, I think that they have a great offensive
line. I think
Yanda
might be the best guard in the league.
Yeah.
One of the top two or three.
Right. And then you bring back Justin Forsett, who out of nowhere had an incredible year. I think he averaged the most yards per carry last season. I think it was around 5.6 or something like that. So the offensive line, the running game, I think will remain. Now that he has more weapons, Joe Flacco, I think that the offense will definitely get better. So I think that's where they'll lean a bit more, kind of like Pittsburgh. I think they'll lean more on the offensive side of the ball. What do you think about the defense?
Defensively, they did lose quite a few pieces here, especially the main pieces. Hoti Nata traded to the Lions, and Pernell McPhee, their pass rusher, gone to the Bears, signed a 5-year contract there. Their defense still looks pretty good. They do a really good job of losing guys and replacing them with a draft pick. I think a lot of times the Ravens will take a defensive guy in the draft, and I don't know about you, but I think, why do they do that?
Yeah.
And it'll be because, you know, it's not for an immediate need. It's for a need in 2 years.
They're looking ahead.
And they've done a good job of that. If you look at their roster, they've got pretty much, with the exception of Elvis Dumervil and Chris Canty, pretty much all their starters, all their playmakers were drafted by the Ravens. They're going to have Webb and Smith are going to be a good cornerback duo. Hill and Kendrick Lewis. I'm not really sold on those guys yet at safety. Lewis is coming over from Houston, and Hill was a draft pick a couple years ago. He's been a little suspect, but C.J. Mosley is the guy that I think to watch. He's the next. I don't want to say he's Ray Lewis because there's only one Ray Lewis.
Right.
But he's a great middle linebacker.
Right.
Great. That, and that's the kind of identity that the Ravens have had, is a playmaker at the middle linebacker's position.
Right.
And they also, I think the big thing is the bookend. So Doomerville and Suggs, while they're both older guys, both still are do a lot well. And they're speed rushers. They don't need to be. They're not. They don't pretend like they're anything else.
Right.
I will say though, I kind of disagree with you with the offense a little bit.
Okay.
I think they're gonna have a bit of a down year.
Okay.
Just because Steve Smith, you want to say he's ageless, and every year want to say he's ageless, but I think he's got to run out of gas eventually.
Okay.
And
well,
he started to say, he said this offseason that he won't play till 40.
Okay.
So that makes me think that he's maybe feeling it a little more. Perriman and Williams, I think, are going to play big roles, and they're rookies. So I'm just a little uncertain there.
Okay.
I have them – yeah, and I think losing – they lost quite a few veterans. They lost Smith, Bernard Pierce, Nata, McPhee, Owen Daniels, Terrence Cody, Jacoby Jones, and their offensive coordinator, Kubiak, is
right.
gone, went to Denver. That's a lot – and the Ravens are really good, like I said, are really good at replacing
restocking,
these guys
yeah.
with draft picks and development. I think that was a lot to lose in one offseason. And the only pieces they added really were Perriman and Williams in the draft, and Lewis on the back end. And of course, Mark Trestman, former CFLer.
Former Chicago Bear.
Chicago Bear. I think that'll be interesting. I'm interested to see what Mark Trestman will do with that.
With that offense? First of all, I just want to make sure that your comments for Steve Smith, I'm going to make sure that you own those, because I don't want anything to do. I don't want to be the one to tell Steve Smith that he can't play anymore. I never want to be
all
that
right.
person. So just make sure that you
I'm
know that.
I'm just saying, he's got to run it.
Okay, well, all right. Well, that's your opinion. That's
all
fine.
Right.
In terms of I see what you're saying. I mean, the offense has, you know, they've lost a few pieces, and, you know, losing Gary Kubiak is huge, especially for the run game, because that's kind of that zone spacing. That's kind of what he likes to run. But I don't know. I mean, I think in terms of the defense, you bring up the two cornerback positions. I think Jimmy Smith is slated to come back healthy for this season, right?
Yep.
Okay, so he was one of the best cornerbacks in the league, so that's going to be huge for them.
It's been a while since both him and Webb have been healthy at the same
together,
time.
Together, right, yeah. I mean, they got toasted at the end of the season when they didn't have him back there. But, yeah, I just feel, again, I just think that their offense will be able to rely heavily on that run game. So I think that's what will be able to get them to sustain. And for me personally, just moving on to records-wise, I think that they will end up finishing with, I think, finish 12-4. Oh. I think 12-4 to win that division, the AFC North.
Yeah, I've been going second in that division. Like I said, the Bengals were 10-6. I have the Ravens at 10-6 as well.
Okay.
I think they'll actually beat the Bengals though.
Okay.
So they'll probably own that tiebreaker, and I'd expect them to make it into the wild card round ahead of the Bengals. And once they get in there, they got Flacco, and they have
That's
a good defense, so you never know what's going to happen.
Right. And I mean, we didn't even mention, but I think that they probably have the best coach in that division as well, in Harbaugh.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin's really good too. I think that's
I agree,
a,
but
that's a, those both those guys are great coaches. I think I can see both those guys being Hall of Fame coaches one day. I think Tomlin's got his two Super Bowls.
I think he has the one.
He's the one in his two Super Bowl appearances. Sorry.
Yeah.
And just being like one of all the Steelers coaches go to the Hall of Fame eventually.
Well, I mean, they hardly have any, right? Because
yeah, they have,
what,
four
turnover,
coaches?
Right?
Yeah, four coaches all the time.
That's the issue. So.
Okay, all right,
so
guys.
Just to recap. So I've got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. And the only difference is that I got
Steelers coming ahead of the Ravens, which pains me to say that a little bit because I grew up always not liking the Steelers. Steelers and the Jets are my two teams. I just could never like those guys. But I think the Steelers are a talented team. The most talented team this year.
Okay.
Or at least their offense is just that much better than everybody else's.
I agree with that. I think that they could be one of the best offenses in the league. I just think that the Baltimore Ravens are just a bit more well-rounded. So.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the first episode of Between the Trenches. Myself, Mitch Sanderson, and my co-host, Dwayne Turner. Thanks for listening.
Signing out. We'll see you guys for episode 2.
Let me ask you a question. Who could possibly have it better than us?
Nobody!